This is episode 450 of the Anarchist News Podcast, a digest and or conversations on anarchist activity, ideas, and comments from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. This is for the week of January 10th through January 16th, 2026. What's new this week? Iran, monarchists and the attempt to tame the unleashed fire from anarchist front, denounces attempts to subvert and co-opt the protests into reform. Quote, "This movement will live on because it is rooted in real freedom, not in the illusion of a return to the past. Anyone who tries to tame it, whether with a crown or the robes of opposition, will be crushed by the wave of wisdom. The streets belong to us, not to the ghosts of the past. Women, life, freedom, not for a new system, but for a world without systems." Unquote.
Can you be crushed by waves of wisdom?
Dude, waves bludgeoning force, for sure. Ooh.
Black Arms to Hold You Up, A History of Black Resistance. From the Comics Journal by noted anarchist writer Christian Williams. A couple weeks ago, A News posted an interview on The Final Straw with Ben Passmore. Here's Williams' take on the book itself. Williams has written books about Oscar Wilde and police misbehavior, among other topics. Anarchy is not mentioned here, which makes sense for the presumed audience of the Comics Journal. It also might make sense based on what sounded to me like ambivalence in the conversation Passmore did with the Final Straw Radio from a couple weeks ago. At any rate, this review is short and readable. I wonder if Williams misunderstands the point of referring to historical events without spelling them out as a decision about audience, but we will have to hear from Passmore about that, I guess. Quote, "There is a vulnerable confessional aspect to this speech that is very moving. And at last, the purpose of the book becomes clear. Black Arms is less about black history than about Passmore's relationship to black history, the use he personally has made of it, the meaning for him as an individual. It is less a history than a personal essay about the importance of history to spark rather than exhaust our interest." Unquote.
The Body and the Politics of Standing in the Street, From Anarchism Perspective, which apparently used to be Anarchism ERA? I don't know. The About Us on the site is lacking. Anyway, this is a short, poignant piece about protesting. Quote, "Sometimes the greatest help is not heroism. It is the making of the truth visible. Your quiet standing on the busy streets, your simple, unassuming presence, can be a small stud in the tire of a car of lies, because it tells other people, you are not alone. And that statement, in our case, is more revolutionary than many things. The power of the oppressor does not come only from weapons. It comes from telling ourselves 1,000 times a day, it can't be done, and then living the life that really can't be done. Your presence loosens this chain." Unquote.
How do we spread anarchism? From Debate Me, Bro, by Ann R. Chisholm. File this under Anarchy is Friendly, though, which is fine. It's fine for some people to hold down that perspective as long as they don't go around filling in potholes. Or maybe they can fill in potholes if they're still quite young and don't have anyone around them to make them read the manual for revolutionary leaders or something. Quote, "It's extremely important that we create meaningful speculative fiction that positively portrays what anarchy would look like. Answering what-ifs and spreading theory will only do so much when one of the largest sources of people's perceptions of anarchy is dystopian fiction. Fiction is an incredibly underused tool in the revolution, one that can be an especially effective antidote to false images of anarchy." Unquote. Is this a warning that some really bad political fiction is probably coming our way? You decide.
Judicial Harassment Against Anarchist Militant Gabriel Pombo da Silva, from Abolition Media. A very short update on the state fucking with Pombo da Silva, who, quote, was sentenced to 2 years in prison for incitement to crime as part of Operation Script Imminent, despite the recognition by the Spanish state that he has already served 2 years and 8 months of excess detention. Unquote. There's a nice pic of him, though, getting some outside time in the sun. Nothing to take for granted for prisoners.
Iranian Anarchists, Uprising is Genuine Self-Organization by Ordinary People. From Freedom News UK. Question and Answer with Members of Anarchist Front by Gabriel Fonten. If you haven't been following the news on these protests, or maybe want one FAQ, this is not bad, with questions about organizing, which state actors are attempting to capture the moment, media ploys, etc. Quote, organization is largely horizontal and decentralized. Through social media networks, local calls by bazaar merchants, and the organic spread of street-level rage without a central leader or guiding party. This is precisely its strength, genuine self-organization by ordinary people against domination. However, this is where the danger lies. Exiled opposition groups, particularly royalists aligned with Reza Pahlavi, have entered the scene and are attempting to hijack this popular uprising. Through calls issued from abroad, they inject slogans like Long Live the Shah in an effort to steer protests towards the restoration of another hereditary dictatorship. Unquote.
Film about anarchist set for release 100 years after her death, from mainstream Asahi Shimbun by Hajime Sugita. Quote, an award-winning film about Fumiko Kaneko, a Japanese anarchist who died in prison, will be released nationwide on February 28th to commemorate the 100th anniversary of her death. Kaneko Fumiko won the Best Director Prize in the Feature category and four other accolades at the New York International Film Awards in September. The movie was directed by Sachi Hamano, 77, who battled gender discrimination in her career that includes more than 300 flicks, including porn. I single-mindedly thought about resurrecting Fumiko, who picked a fight with a nation alone in modern times, she said, unquote. This article is as much about the life of the director as about Fumiko, which makes the story here more about sexism than anarchy. Quote, Hamano doesn't embrace anarchism, but she said, Fumiko argued that all people were equal by the sole virtue of being human. I want to say, resist authority and don't remain silent, unquote. So that's cool.
Emma Goldman, superstar, from Forward by P.J. Grisser. Forward's tagline is Jewish Independent Nonprofit. This is a sympathetic retrospective of Goldman's place in theater, especially in opera. Grisser goes into detail about a recent and recurring production by Lehrman and Kramer called E.G. Quote, though the portrait in E.G. makes for a more comprehensive profile than the one now at Lincoln Center, it also presents something larger in its invitation to consider her legacy. E.G. means, for example, take this example, said Kramer. Not in the sense of cloning Emma in all respects, but certainly the insistence on understanding and the courage to push for things that are right, even if they're not popular, and that others should do that too, unquote.
Another anarchist died on the front line of Ukraine, from Indie Media Netherlands. Quote, Lana Sati Chernohorska, a 26-year-old warrior of the Ukrainian Volunteer Army, was killed in action following an enemy UAV strike in the southern direction on January 1st. Sati was a devoted warrior, a person of strong principles, and a true friend. Beyond her military service, she was an artist, a cultural figure, and a civic activist. Within the unit, Sati carried out a wide range of tasks, from preparing drones to combat deployment. She served both as a pilot and as a navigator of various UAV systems, the statement reads, unquote.
Amid Trump's war on Antifa, activists face arrest for zines and group chats. From Truth Out by Britt Red Schult. More info on the Prairieland case, or the same info if you've been keeping up, but this time focusing on the criminalization of zines. Quote, zines are often sources of great inspiration and personal conviction. If being against a regime that deports, kills, silences, poisons, and cages is criminal, then we must abandon the nonsensical concept of innocence. Political literature should make you feel, think, learn, and act. Zines have been criminalized before our current moment, and at times their creation and circulation was made punishable by death in revolutionary France, in the post-revolutionary United States, and in Nazi Germany, just to name a few, unquote. Why is this the history we have to repeat? There are better eras, people.
Two Forgotten Historians of American Anarchism from Anarchistories by Tom Goyens. An article about two historians who took anarchist thought seriously enough to write about it. Osgood wrote in the 1880s and Schuster in the 1920s. I guess this is a historian's history piece. Why should we care that there were two non-anarchist historians who were sympathetic and paying attention? Are we trying to appeal to historical normies now? But this is for the Anarchy Histories website, so truth in naming, I guess.
On Venezuela, Towards an Anarchist Anti-Colonialism, from Abolition Media, decries the kidnapping and arrest of Maduro and wife, contextualizes U.S. depredations against Central and South American countries, promotes anarchism as an internationalist tendency. Finally, this piece argues for a more nuanced understanding of colonialism and anarchism. Not sure I agree with their conclusions, but I can agree with this. Quote, there is no situation where the U.S. should be allowed to operate as a global policeman, garnering it further resources and power and bringing abject misery to the most vulnerable. Unquote. Which leads into the question of who's most vulnerable, but I guess that's a subject for a later article.
Announcing Constellation 2026 from Anon, announcing this year's Montreal Book Fair event. Quote, and so we invite fellow travelers of the anarchist galaxy to come together for the third edition of Constellation. Montreal's Festival of Anarchy returns from May 14th to the 20th, 2026, with a week-long citywide extravaganza of books, zines, skills, art, music, and more. Come take part in our decentralized experiment where participants help set the tone, create the content, and weave together theory and practice across many spaces and formats. Unquote. This announcement also gets this month's award for most off-the-wall response in the comments, where someone complains about anarchist childcare. SMFH.
Did you just say SFMH?
No, I said SMFH.
Why are you saying an acronym? A terminally online acronym.
I'm trying to keep up with the times, dude. It's hard work. I don't know why you're giving me shit.
I don't. You know, when someone writes that, they mean something else. 10 Little Anarchists Searching for New World, from Fifth Estate by Marius Mason. A review of the novel 10 Little Anarchists by Daniel Desroulets, published by Atana Media. Mason found this novel, quote, a masterful weave of fantasy and fact, history and histrionics, ideology and imagination, unquote. It is, quote, told through the dynamic conversations and lives of 10 anarchist women who strike out on their own and leave the old world behind in their effort to create a truly anarchist community in a foreign land, unquote. Sounds good, right?
Iran, the Tragedy of the Failure of the Constitutional Revolution from Anarchist Perspective. An anarchist reflects on Iranian history over the past few decades and the co-optation of popular power. Quote, if neighborhoods, guilds, councils, unions, cooperatives, and independent associations do not become the everyday pillars of social power, the state, any state, will find a million ways to circumvent the law or rewrite it in its own language. Unquote.
Iran, three reports of the killing of thousands of people. From Anarchist Front, on the 17th day of protests in Iran, we get three people talking about the intense and increasing repression from the state. The first two emphasize the torture, greed, and cover-ups that are happening, while the last one focuses on the bravery and stamina of those who continue to resist. Quote, I was so happy that I witnessed those moments with my own eyes, that I was there in the streets, moving forward with the people. It felt as if 40 years of suppressed pain were being released from inside me, as if everything that had been trapped in my body for a lifetime was finally coming out. Unquote.
Oof. Yeah. Urgent update on health situation of Eat and Dina, imprisoned anarchists in the Chaos Star case from Dark Knights. Bad news. Quote, we received the information that imprisoned anarchist comrades Eat, Rehard Rumbayan, and Dina, Matitya Dena, are still held in the West Java paramilitary police compound in the fabricated Chaos Star case, and that they have badly declined in health. In the case of Eat, severely. Both comrades have HIV-positive diagnoses and are struggling to receive adequate health care, food, and nutrition for their serious conditions. Eat is suffering constant extreme pain from atrophy in his arm, which is paralyzed. Unquote. There are links for more info and snail mail.
Announcing the Infiltrators Database. From Anonymous. Very short announcement. This is most of it. Quote, the No Trace Project has launched a new tool, the Infiltrators Database, a database of cases of long-term infiltrators employed by authorities in the 21st century, currently referencing 74 cases from 12 countries. The goal of the database is to help anarchists and other rebels better understand how infiltrators operate. For each case, we provide a brief description, sources to learn more, as well as the infiltrator's name and pictures if available. Unquote. There are links.
Stalinism is a Marxist invention to save Lenin and Trotsky, from Freedom from Freedom News UK by David Sanchez Pinheiro. This is Pinheiro talking to Ignacio de Llorens about Llorens' new biography of Russian anarchist Volin. It's almost entirely a history lesson, with one paragraph about possible similarities with what is going on in Ukraine today, and another single paragraph about not letting the ends justify the means. Also, the argument that Stalin was in line with the revolution of Lenin and Trotsky, not a break from it. I'm sure some tankies will be upset, but who cares?
Who gives a shit?
History!
Obituaries. Daniel Colson, 1943 to 2026. From Freedom News UK by David Barry. This is mostly a run-through of Colson's anarchist projects, which are mostly in publishing and writing, though he was also a member of various anarchist groups and efforts. Quote, he found anti-Oedipus pretty indigestible, in fact, and even 10 years later when he tried again, it was only the first chapter that he really got to grips with. For Colson, that chapter successfully demolished the enormous Marxist theoretical apparatus that dominated the French left at that time, and made clear not only the theoretical, but also the emancipatory, ethical, philosophical, and practical power of anarchism. Unquote. What can I say? Relatable. Not often we read about lifelong active anarchists.
In memory of Pepe Tissone from Humanità Nova, another long-termer, quote, his militancy in France allowed his group comrades to engage with broader anarchist experiences, as well as with local working class groups with whom Pepe had established trusting relationships. Pepe had no difficulty making himself heard. In fact, his contributions were always sought after and closely followed, so much so that Pepe himself, with withering hints of irony and self-deprecation, curbed any risk of creating psychological subjugation. Unquote. Irony and self-deprecation, always a nice mix.
Audio and video! The political repression and resistance of Eloje Chitlan de Flores Magón, Oaxaca. From the Final Straw Radio, 1 hour and 16 minutes. First is about 6 minutes of various updates, mostly from prisoners, from Chanotli to the DFW. Then there's an interview with two people about Eloje Chitlan de Flores Magón. Quote, we talk about the rise to economic and political power of the family of Manuel Zepeda and his daughter Elena, their weaponization of the judiciary against community defenders resisting a hijacking in 2014 of the traditional community assembly and the years of organizing by Mazateca women whose loved ones face long prison sentences. We also speak about the case of Miguel Peralta, a Mazateca anarchist challenging his 5-decade sentence related to this case, as well as the recent murder by medical neglect while in prison of militant anarcho-punk Jorge Esquivel at the hands of the Mexican state at the behest of UNAM. Unquote.
Anarchists at War in Spain, Myanmar, and Rojava with James Stout. Our second from the Final Straw Radio this week. This one is 2 hours. Stout talks about history, and if you're charmed by someone enthusiastic about their subject matter, to the extent of forgetting that people don't necessarily know what they're talking about, then this might be nice for you. Bursts mostly does the work to rein Stout in. Quote, for this episode, we talk about the idea of anarchist armies, discuss those three conflicts, left libertarian approaches to formalized armed resistance beyond a guerrilla unit, some of the novel technologies and international solidarities that have developed, and a lot more, unquote.
This is the Anarchist News Podcast, and the topic of the week today is On Venezuela, Towards an Anarchist Anti-Colonialism for the 12th of January, 2026. And this is Artemis.
And Donnie fucking don't.
All right, you want to summarize this nice little article for us?
Here we go. I'm going to read the first paragraph and then summarize because it runs a little long here. The kidnapping of President of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, the United States this last week has created a divide in anarchist perspective, particularly those living in the United States. It's made clear that there is a concerning lack of consensus around the implications of this action by the revolutionary left. To get on the same page and ascertain an anarchist perspective on this matter, it is necessary to understand the international dynamics, tradition of anarchist viewpoints, the dynamics of global class struggle, and critical role of anarchists residing in the heart of empire. Essentially, where this article goes is talks a little bit about the history of U.S. intervention in Latin America and other countries, particularly, you know, kidnapping heads of state, like in Haiti, and overthrowing governments and installing dictators like Pinochet in Chile, and similarly backing squads and such in Colombia. Et cetera, et cetera. It discusses anarchism having, or it puts forward the idea that anarchist projects do better in leftist societies. It cites Spanish civil where the Spanish Civil War was coming out of, and similarly that period in Ukraine,
and Manchuria as well.
I think there have been arguments in recent days basically that like state on state shit is not our business, and that like since Maduro's authoritarian, like we really shouldn't even care. It cites a particular since the author's experience in which I will quote that. Many years ago, as part of an anarchist social center, we shared a post on social media by an ostensibly anarchist collective based in Venezuela, critical of the state. A Brazilian anarchist group of comrades we were connected with, comrades with a proven record of combating racism and taking an important stance against U.S. imperialism, gently informed us that we were sharing U.S. State Department propaganda. We researched the journal we had shared and found that it, indeed, had questionable origin. Brazilian anarchists explained that while the social project in Venezuela was not ideal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I guess it kind of asks what is it to be the anarchist position? And obviously they place anarchism on the type of anarchism they're identifying with when placed on. I think kind of need to take that as a given in discussing it, that, you know, for egoist anarchism or whatever, or like anarchism that doesn't deal with politics at all, perhaps it's true that it's no business. I don't know.
Right.
You got thoughts, or do you have additions that I missed?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of connecting to that Brazilian one, you know, state propaganda and things is, I'm not saying that's true or not. I mean, the author even goes on to say, like, they're, oh, the journal did have questionable origins. Advocating is the wrong word. Supporting or showing solidarity in some sense with movements. Like, look at Iran, where there's, like, a certain type of leftist that's like, oh, supporting the protest is actually pro-Israeli. And it's interesting that how often imperialism will weaponize protests and movements that we are sympathetic to in order to, you know, push their own destabilizing agenda to put in people that they like the Shah. He's the son of the Shah, if I remember correctly.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. On the same end, I also think like the only way Lenin got back into Russia was Germany was like, he's going to destabilize Russia. Right. So that's, yeah. I mean, they launched him into Russia like a biological weapon. Right. And it worked. It got Russia out of the war. And
yeah.
That doesn't mean, I think from a Marxist-Leninist perspective, and as someone who used to be a Marxist, it's like the imperialists will always, you know, it's paper tiger stuff, right? They're, you know, they're digging their own grave, and that was an action in that sense. So I don't think that negates these movements, but we should also understand how imperialist entities or colonial entities will try to hijack or use these movements for their own ends, and that's just something to be aware of. But also, I think dismissing them outright is just, that's so fucking stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it gets very touchy, and also just like I feel like instance by instance, you know, where like
right
if you have something like fucking Taliban or whatever, you know, yeah. Like yeah, or any of these like far right fascistic entities, but yeah, I mean have things like, you know, and I know that like anarchists have a bad history, you know, objectively with like Cuba and yeah, Venezuela. But also like recognizing that, and this is like a bit like a libbed take, insofar as that it like puts a value on democracy. But like societies that have like military guarantees, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Able to open up in ways that besieged societies are not, right? Mm-hmm. So like the fact that like you know, the Cuban government is constantly seeing U.S. activity behind every legitimate protest, mm-hmm. is not a bug, right? It's a feature. It's the thing that the U.S. was trying to instigate when it sent, you know, millions of SMS messages offering people like life-changing amounts of money to destroy public infrastructure when text messaging first came to Cuba, right? And mm-hmm. like it's the thing that the US was trying, it's the pleasant byproduct, right, of the US creating its own Twitter through USAID and trying to instigate like an Arab Spring uprising in Cuba,
right?
And so like yeah, I think I think it's complicated, not that anarchists really physically get involved in a lot of international struggles at this point, right? We're not, I mean, other than like Rojava and Ukraine, I guess, right. Like we're not so much in the age of the like traveling soldier or civilian as soldier, you know?
Right. Oh, that's it's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Really going anywhere with it. I'm trying to like look at the different actors.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a lot of conversations around the Venezuela stuff with folks lately where like some folks think that like fretting over what anarchists are saying online, you know, and in their media projects is like giving them credit, right? And like overblowing the influence that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, similarly, other folks yet think that, yeah, any authoritarian regime coming down is objectively good.
Mm-hmm.
In isolation, you know, that's really true.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, if the U.S. is involved, like, there's a good chance that whatever comes after is how worse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Things can always get worse, you know? Like, whatever happened, like, if we put Machado in, you know, whatever happens after that, it may actually be worse than what's been going on in Venezuela, you know? It could be just as authoritarian with none of the safety and the privatization.
Yeah, you just need to become a U.S. colony. Congrats.
Yeah, basically, you know. And that's like if we don't decide to like actually punish you for having been whatever version of socialism you want to say they were, or you know, or they claim they were, right? Is like I always say, you know, like if Cuba gets overthrown by the U.S., like you're not going to be Costa Rica, like you're not even going to be Puerto Rico. Like the U.S. will turn you into Haiti, prove that like your project was an abject failure,
right? If you know what, if I can, do you mind if I read one of the comment responses to this post?
Please.
So this is from Wayne Price, and I'm gonna be real. This is like the one time I'm gonna ever agree with Wayne Price.
Sure.
He says anonymous submitter, which is how this is attributed, is both right and wrong. They are correct in advocating anarchist anti-colonialism and anti-imperialism. Baron in giving a pass to all the authoritarian, statist, capitalist, pseudo-leftists, or, in parentheses, reactionary Islamist governments of the global south. It's one thing to oppose all imperialism. It is another thing to shut up about the states of the so-called global left, which oppresses, exploits, and impoverishes their people. It is the job of the Venezuelan people to overthrow the rulers, not the job of U.S. imperialism, which we oppose. Although the U.S. may tell the truth about its enemies at times, as it did with Nazi Germany and Stalinist Russia, as Russia told about the truth about U.S. capitalism for its purposes. And then, I'm just going to read this next paragraph and I'll be done. Being for national self-determination does not mean cheering for the rulers on either side. Yes, as anonymous emitter says, the Soviet Union gave aid to countries which rebelled against the U.S. empire. Now the U.S. gives aid to Ukrainian people against the Russian empire. I do not condemn the Vietnamese for taking Russian aid, nor Ukrainians for taking U.S. aid, but I condemn those who naively praise either imperialism for giving aid, which undermines its enemy, and not for any real idealistic reason. And I think that's an attitude I generally, I think, would sum up my perspective. But I also, I find myself, maybe it's because of the people in the activist spaces around me, that maybe I have the knee-jerk reaction to be like, you know, the U.S. gains so much more from these people being like, if, I don't know, like Maduro being gone or there being some movement against him, like there's a power imbalance. And if it weakens, I'm not even, and then I'm going to sound like a multipolarist, which I'm not by any regards, but it kind of comes off like what's, is, as you get it, dude, is the outcome good? I don't know. It's there's tension here that it can be hard for me to take, to express what I believe. Cause there's something as an anarchist, right? As Malatesta says, anarchists have forgotten their ideals, but then there's also a level of like, well, damn, I don't know. Like is Maduro being gone ain't necessarily helping the Venezuelan people, you know?
And I mean, that's kind of what I, you know, I feel like most likely situation is like Machado winds up being like a Pinochet style character, right? Where they have to like go through and rout out like all the like still loyal Chavistas or ideological, or loyal, but like ideological Chavistas. And they have to, right, get rid of all the colectivo stuff. And that looks like oppression as well, you know? Best case scenario is she manages some kind of like election in which, yeah, like only people who are going to privatize and open up the country are allowed to run, or at least allowed to win.
Right.
A thing that I've been struggling with a bit lately, where like the anarchist obsession with elections, because like obviously like we don't obsess on elections? We don't obsess on elections, on election not happening, yeah, or like an election, you know what I mean, like,
yeah, okay,
like we're always like, yeah, like fuck elections, or you know, like they just legitimize this or whatever, and then like as soon as a country like doesn't have elections, or like, you know, like has obviously fraudulent elections, like still counts very heavily in Discord.
Huh. Yeah. You know? I never thought about that. That's interesting.
Yeah. I don't, have a solid thing I've come down on for that, but I've been like turning it over in my head lately as to like if that's of consequence and what it's about. Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with the author, his thing about anarchist societies doing better, like anarchist projects or whatever, doing better in leftist societies. I think that's probably true
for like in Cuba, like the fuck.
That's what I was gonna say. Is like I think that's probably true for like democratic lefty societies. I don't necessarily think that authoritarian left societies are any better than, I mean, probably better than right wing authoritarian societies, by not by full leaps and bounds, you know, in that way. And I think, I also think that like the degree to which anarchist projects are allowed to flourish without like deadly resistance from the state, like free speech in general, as I've been watching like global events, are just like directly proportionate to like how stable a state is and like how wrong state is a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, during the Cold War, there were a lot of things you couldn't say in the, we had this like brief period where it was like, you can free speech or whatever, but then like, yeah, as soon as like 9/11 happens, now there's a bunch of stuff you're not allowed to say. It kind of chills out a bit. Like Gaza starts, and also like, yeah, like multipolarity starts to set in, and now we're like ramping back down on it. And I think, yeah, I think, yeah, interestingly enough, yeah, I think like the harder a state would be to topple, like the more permissive it is usually, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that.
Can I ask real quick, what your take is on like the multipolarity argument? Does it serve anarchists? Does it guarantee more freedom for the world? How do you understand those dynamics?
For the world as a whole, it's hard to say. I've definitely since the Snowden thing, like over a decade ago at this point, I've definitely thought that like multipolarity would probably be better insofar as that there's just more places to go. Like that dude had to go to fucking Russia, basically. There's like especially like back then, it was like you could basically go to Russia, Iran, or North Korea. You know?
Like, right.
Maybe now you could go to China. No, but like your options are extremely fucking limited. Whereas, yeah, like people used to just like go to Europe, you know, Mexico or whatever. Like, yeah, you used to be able to go to France. Just like, yeah, down to like, yeah, some Latin American, you know, like it is, yeah, pretty different. Whereas, yeah, when you have bases in almost every country, it's like, hey, your options are pretty limited. None of them are places you'd really want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, do you think in relationship to anarchist struggle on a global scale, maybe kind of continuing from that perspective the author takes, that these, you know, authoritarian left, or, you know, he says the term, or I'm assuming they, you know, global South left governments are good for anarchism. Do you think a multipolar, or, you know, I just think, to me,
right,
I don't know. I've been thinking about that a little bit. Cause, you know, I, as an anarchist, it's not multipolar, unipolar, it's nonpolar. Right. But then it's like, what does that mean now? And not to say me saying any of those three options actually influences the way the world is going. But I wonder, I think there's a confusion some people have that multipolar means like the system somehow weaker or something. I don't really get that. Because I would almost argue, if you want to take like a materialist perspective, a multipolar system is more stable, right? Because it's not centralized to one point. I don't know. But then again, yeah, to say it's unipolar is only, you're only reflecting one type of, or a certain set of power, as opposed to capital that's, you know, Camus, as Jacques Camus talks about, is like transcendent of borders and all that anyways. So like,
yeah, I don't know. I think maybe it depends like what type of anarchism, you know, like I think, I mean, not the US, but like, mm-hmm. yeah, like maybe like some European countries right now, right? Like have some space for like, at least like anarchist branded stuff, you know, right. Anarchist branded projects.
Right.
And probably if you have three really high tension poles that all kind of feel besieged, like that's not going to be a good situation. Like none of those like dominant groups are going to feel the need to like, there with like any kind of like an open society, you know?
Right.
They'll all have constant boogeymen, you know?
Right.
So in that way, I think probably like openly branded anarchist projects or anarchist organizing mm-hmm. takes a hit. Like I said, like probably fleeing from one to the other gets easier, but like, yeah, actually having like the open organizing probably gets a lot.
It probably gets what?
A lot harder.
Oh, yeah.
No, and then the flip is like if you're getting into like revolution, like hardcore revolutionary anarchy at that point, like I mean, resources may become available to people when other countries are in steep competition with the one that you're in. You know, I mean, you're getting into like some really fucking serious shit there. But like in the 60s and 70s, it was like not uncommon for Russia to be supplying. Today, it's like not uncommon for like the U.S. to be supplying weapons and money and passports and stuff to natives. I mean, even like, gosh, listening to
your mic is doing something crazy, by the way. It's got this like static to it.
Yeah, you used to have like countries that could supply you with resources, and I was listening to the Weird Little Guys podcast, like a history of like. Basically like white supremacists in the US podcast I really like. And she had like a three-part series on South Africa, apartheid mm-hmm. South Africa. Like having a nation state to back the like explicitly white supremacist movements around the world meant that like people were getting like fake passports and shit, you know? And weapons and so I mean and again like we're into like some very serious like civil war level territory there, but point is yeah, I mean on the very revolutionary end of things, like possibilities could open up. I mean, I don't know, I guess that's like kind of like what's up with like Rojava, right? Is mm-hmm. like yeah, you've got a bunch of weapons coming from a foreign actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, everything just looks like Rojava more and more all the time, basically. It's just fascists and lefty anarchisty types and less in between. It's all just fucking...
I don't know why I feel like I brought this up the last time I was on here. Everything looks like Rojava, which means everything looks like Syria, which just means Desert was right, right? Is that what we...
Yeah.
Turns out desert's always right.
Yeah. Go on.
Well, I was going to say, I'm going to take this totally different direction, so if you're going to continue, we can do that.
Nah, go for it.
So, I want to get back to the title of this piece, actually. The Anti-Colonialism of Anarchism. I've been thinking about this a lot. At this anarchist project we do, it's like a social space, and I kind of, for lack of a better word, manage the library, the zine library. And I've been pushing a lot of, for a while now, but particularly now because I believe it's relevant, analyses and relationships and struggles against colonialism and imperialism, things like that. And I think about that a lot, you know, anarchism in those struggles. What does that mean? Because you think of You know, this could apply to Ukraine. It could apply to the Korean anarchists, the Cuban anarchists, right? And so on and so forth. Spain, kind of to a degree. It's like, okay, we want to bring down the state. But if there's layers to it, right? Because there's the native state, for lack of a better word, the bureaucracy, things like that. But then you, and the local capitalists, then you have like the imperial or the colonial. So there's layers to it. Do you want to be stagist in your anarchist belief? It's like, oh, well, we got to get rid of the outside invader first. And then we can struggle against the native leadership. But then so easy it is, right? Once you win the first stage, that the second, the up-and-comers just secure and hold power. I don't know. I think I always am wondering about that a lot and what that means and how, you know, what that looks like. And we haven't seen what that looks like really too much in the contemporary period, besides to a degree the Zapatistas sort of. But then also, what's it mean for being in the belly of the beast? I think about that a lot. Being here in the United States, what's our role? To me, it's like, well, it's easier for us because it's right in front of us, right? It's the United States. Like, there is no colonial empire. We are the colonial empire. And so it's right. Like, as anarchists, I think part of it is the social struggle here, but I don't delude myself to believe there's revolutionary capacity in the United States. So it's more or less, part of it is, how do we make it harder for the state to oppress its own people? And of course, hurt its military economic ability to intervene in foreign countries, right? And I'm inspired by different groups from different cross parts of United States history and other places. I don't know. I'm rambling now. I'm sorry. I had so many thoughts about just the notion of an anarchist anti-imperialism and anti-colonialism in the modern era and what that looks like here, especially because I'm not saying uninterested about what it means when you're in the third world, the so-called third world or colonized areas, but like, that discourse is just less relevant to me in like my lived, what it looks like to live here.
You know, right. So. Yeah. I don't have to decide whether I'm going to try to undermine state that when it collapses, the vacuum of which will be filled by the US.
Right.
Our state is the mother state.
Right.
Is the global state. Yeah. It is true. Things are simplified. And honestly, like, I even kind of see that, like, when it comes to, like, certain strains of even, like, the socialist groups and communist groups in our country, is it's like, none of us are going to live through this thing falling down. But, like, in all actuality, like, it falling down is probably, you know, project or whatever. You know, and again, that doesn't need, like, in the U.S., that's not going to be a revolutionary project. It probably just looks like either creating, like, shelters as it falls, comrades and people that we like, and, or populations that we identify with, or looks like, accelerating has a really bad connotation these days. So what whatever they call that thing now that's not accelerationism.
Not accelerationism?
I don't know. I feel like that's become like simultaneously like right and tech coded in weird ways, like or meaningless or something. I don't know. Like,
I think, like, I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. But I know what you're
I don't even know if there is a word for it yet, but yeah. Thing where you Or trying to help the direction it falls in. I don't know. This is barely a discussion. This is just me thinking out loud at this point.
Are you sure you're the one that's not sitting here? Because you sound like me when I have that brain fog. Where, like, you know that thing? And there's
idea. Yeah, we were talking about the long is it long COVID or am I middle aged?
You're right. That's, you know, the ripe old age I'm at in my late 20s. Yeah. If I have to start asking that question, oh, fuck.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, I've made it into my 40s at this point. So I'm like, my, like, lung capacity to run isn't what it used to be. And, like, kind of forgetful. And I had COVID, like, three pretty serious times. So you're like, I don't know, man. Like, who's... Yeah, I don't have good answers or even like really solid theories on what the anarchist application of, when the U.S. So like as the U.S. becomes less responsive to the populace, if it ever was, or more nakedly unresponsive to the populace, like what our opinions or even the way we frame those things to other people maybe even become less and less important, you know?
Right.
Populace gets weirdly smarter about this stuff. I was like looking at a bunch of polls and like even with the like propaganda blast that like mainstream media all across the like acceptable political spectrum, like the libs and the Democrats and everything, you know, like doing you know, work for the narrative, something like 40% of the population still thinks it's wrong, 40% thinks it's right, and 20% like aren't sure. Like crazy. Like we weren't putting up numbers like that in like the first days of Iraq, you know?
Right.
Or like ever for like Libya or anything like that, where it's like your average American can just like watch something on CNN where they're like, he's a dictator and also a narco-terrorist and all stole our gas and he stole an election and the person and that's why we kidnapped him, and like 4 out of 10 Americans are still watch that and go, I don't go in there.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. Let me ask you, some of the comments on this were kind of like, what is this Stalinist shit pretending to be anarchist? Did you get an apologetic Stalinist sort of read on this text?
I mean, I guess you could. So, I mean, we talked about this a little bit before, like, it is my understanding, like, Stalinism is not, it's not a thing. Like, I mean, during the Soviet, like during the Soviet Union, right? I guess it was like people who defended what the Soviet Union was doing while Stalin was running it. You could call that Stalinism, but like as far as like an analysis other than like socialism in one country, or like he doesn't have like marked like ideological things were added to like the ideological canon, you know?
Okay.
I guess what I'm getting at is
that's a literal sense of it, but like when people say Stalinist in this context, they mean campist. Would you consider this text to be campist?
I think like maybe like going to fight for the Maduro regime could be campist.
Right.
I think being like the US should not do this thing. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
Seems like you're on pretty sound footing for most like non-sociopathic ideologies. But yeah, whether or not you're like actively defending the Maduro regime, I feel like that would be like really a campus take. I don't know. It's also like hard for me up here to like really get a grip on like what was going on down there. You know, it's very like watching that whole thing unfold. And I know I talked about this a bit like last week, but just like where like in 2014, like in the BBC and like mainstream news were like, there are right-wing protests in Venezuela, you know, and they're about things like crime and corruption, right, which are always like right-wing buzzwords. And then the US put sanctions in order to like punish the regime for like cracking down on like their equivalent to like January 6th basically, and like this like right, and the market kicks out. Like, and the market like fumbles for oil, and then you just striking these like repeated way. And so I guess what I'm saying is like, it's unclear to me who there supports Maduro and why. Like some people do, and I'm curious, you know, where I'm like, okay, so like, what is like, I don't get the impression that like there are equivalent to like Trumpists, you know, like here in the US, right? Like, are they just like regime appreciators, or are they like what like the Chavista movement, even in its like weird, deformed, even more authoritarian form, is doing for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unclear to me like what the actual reality on the ground is down there.
Okay, fair.
So, but yeah, I guess I would say like, yeah, standing an authoritarian regime just because it's anti-US, it's like pretty much the definition of campism.
Makes sense. Yeah, I was just curious because that was what I first thing I read this, I went and I saw there's comments. I was like, let me check these out because I know exactly what these are gonna say.
No, for sure. Yeah.
Because almost, I feel like anarchists can sometimes have a knee-jerk reaction to the topics of imperialism and colonialism, which I understand because the left from the Soviet Union to like the new left of like the 60s and onward, right, has been apologetic about those who are being colonized or victims of imperialism. But it's important to remember that all capitalist states will tend towards imperialism. It's just a matter of those have gotten there and those that haven't, just straight up. It is a difference in they just haven't made enough quantitative change to have a qualitative change. But yeah.
That makes sense too.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. Is there anything more to say? We haven't talked that long, but I don't know.
Is that true?
37 minutes.
That's not bad. We're not supposed to hit the last 45. So I think we're safe territory there.
Okay.
I would probably call it. I'm a little worn out. All right.
I'm down for that.
Not by the conversation, just by a long day at work.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, man. I hear you. All right. Well, this has been, again, Artemis with
Donnie fucking Don't.
Thank you for listening.
This week's podcast was sound edited by Rosamonte. The What's New was written by Chisel, read by Chisel, and
Small Stud.
We hope this podcast is useful to and fun for anarchists and the anarcho-curious.